Hello, and welcome to Heroic Stat, an Any Heroic podcast, where if you want to be part of the Space Jam, then you better come on and slam. My name is Stephen Denby. I am, of course, the leader of the anarcho-syndicalist scene here at Any Heroic. I am also current rankings officer, joined today by John Partridge, the Southeast rep. The intern, as he will forever be known as. Elliot,
Hello
who
there.
is our resident inter, loves running it down with Rohan, will somehow decide that spending 3 mana on a throwing spear is a good idea. And of course, Dave, our competitive legitimacy. Say hi, everyone.
Hi,
Hi, everyone.
everyone.
Hey, that's what we wanted.
I like that Elliot's sort of signature on this podcast is that one time. You choose to spend 3 might on an Alphen throwing spear one time.
It's not one
It's
time,
not
Dave.
one time, Dave.
It's not one
I wish I could
time.
tell you it was one time.
It's not.
Maybe it's fully earned then.
Sorry
I'll
to
let you have that.
disappoint.
No, it's not disappointing at all. I think that's, if anything, that's exciting.
If you're new here, we talk about the current competitive meta through weekend tournament results, including best painted, most sportings, also potential scenes on upcoming future tournaments. And this week, we've got a special segment which you will see coming up. Teaser.
Nice.
But first of all, as always, got to talk about our affiliate. We are, of course, affiliated with Firestorm Games. They've got
We go.
stores all across the Southwest. Matt King did comment, we'll see in a bit, that they've currently got four stores, I believe. Of course, we love Firestorm Games. As we said last episode, it's one of the reasons why we all hang out together. It's where some of us met Dave. Where some of us went to our first tourneys together. We've been to doubles there. Great venue. Head down there to get all your nerdy related products, EDW stuff, Army Painter.
Don't
They've
buy
got.
anything in store though. Exclusively use our affiliate link.
Well, I'd recommend buying stuff in store as well if you want to, personally. But yeah, if you want to use our affiliate link, you will also help us out a little bit and get us those clicks. There is a QR code on screen.
Or a link in the description below.
Or a link
Nice.
in the description
If
below.
you're a boomer.
If you're a
Yeah,
boomer.
links are so last year. That's so true.
Right.
That's
I
enough
mean, yeah,
shilling.
that is when Zelda was released, Tears of the Kingdom. It was last year, so Link is last year.
Factual.
On to the hobbying. What's everyone up to? I can go first because I bought some more paints today on my way home
But you don't use paint, Stephen.
from I know, but I have a
How
whole
did you get
haul.
home?
How did I get home? Well, I didn't drive. But I used the bus for one of the last times ever. I just passed my
No.
driving test. That's what he's getting at.
You're still going to use the bus.
And as a reward, I spent £40 at GW on five small pots of paint and some primer.
Lovely. Are
I've
you going
got
to
some
use them
wood
for
elf
better
paint,
things?
and I am having now cleaned up my Mirkwood army. I will be painting them. And my girlfriend's volunteered to paint them with me. Like she
Great.
actively wants to, which is a scary prospect, because they might actually get done, which is
It might
yeah.
actually look half decent as well. Well, hey.
You wound me.
Pain.
Jonathan, what have you been up to?
I've been committing war crimes on small hobbits for the sake of hobby to convert a banner for City of Steel.
Chuck a picture up here because I think it looks really good.
We'll
Does look
save the
very good.
reveal.
No, save it for when it's done.
And then continuing to not paint Arnor.
Nice.
Yeah. That Arnor really doesn't seem to be kept tickling your creative pickle, does it?
I've really enjoyed the converting of it.
I cracked all that out pretty
Yeah.
quick, but then actually painting it is dull.
I
Well,
find converting really fun. But it is the painting in general that's the sucky bit.
was that Elliot?
I was just gonna say I played against Darnold for the first time at the weekend,
Oh
and
yeah.
I'll see how you get on, John. But I think it might be new army in a couple months. Really?
For me, I've been doing what I call hobby admin, which is to say going through my cases and trying to make things as efficiently set up as possible. I got a lot of new models relatively recently that have been gradually being built, and I've slowly and scarily realized that I just don't have enough space for all of it. So I'm getting some more of those really useful boxes with the magnet seats and magnets, and I'm getting I'm sort of basically trying to avoid buying any new expensive miniature cases, but also using as much of the ones that I already own as possible. But it's a bit of a big job.
You need a spreadsheet, Dave.
I don't think the spreadsheet would help the organizing of it. That would help me know what I've got, which wouldn't be
Really a bad idea. But that would be a full, probably several day job to actually, or at least one day, go through the entire collection and work out what I've got.
right,
Yeah,
should
John, you know
we?
you can't actually store models in a spreadsheet, right? That's not how it works.
If you
True.
grind them down into ones and zeros, it
I'm
works.
just picturing Dave finishing his spreadsheet and going, so yeah, I've got no space.
Would look at all my miniatures on the table like, ah, damn.
So, moving on to the results from the weekend just gone. The first one, hey, Worcester War Games, Leon and Laura Smith, shout out them as always. They'll be in the comments down below. It was Dragon Sickness, a GBHL 90 in Worcester, 600 points with six games. There were special points, additional tournament points for achieving an additional objective that was set out in the rules pack. Basically, there was a treasure pile. There was a special set of rules about capturing it and then making it yours. You could be transfixed as well by the glimmer of the treasure. And most sporting was our very own man here, Mr. Elliot Claude, who also
Some
went
reason.
4-2
Wow.
with Durin's Folk, which is no small achievement at a 90. I don't think
Not
that's not
bad.
too bad at all.
Kingdom of
Even
Earth
though
and
the
Doom.
dwarves themselves are small.
That's going in the book.
Even had to play
Wow.
recon as well. Oh
Oh,
no. Did you
man.
win
Oh.
recon?
I did win recon. By the
Wow.
skin of my teeth.
March is useful, huh?
I didn't actually march at all in the game.
Oh, pranked.
And best painted was Richard Croydon, who I believe has appeared on here before, with his
Oh, that looks
absolutely
familiar.
stunning.
It's so good. So good.
Blackgate Opens was the army list. Although this is more of a Minas Morghulis style, but you can see he's got the incredible alternative Troll Chieftain sculpts with the extra big one, which is quite cool. And he's also got the alternative miniatures for the orcs as well, which is very nice.
And the he had Blackguard of Barad-dûr as well, which you can see at the top there.
Yes, which Blackguard of Barad-dûr, not a good choice game wise in general. But a very cool choice model wise, and it's a very nice theme because obviously they guard the Black Gate, so go figure. But yeah, absolutely stunning board, some nice
Was
use
it
of LED, etc.
actually being used as a Blackgate Open Legendary Legion, or
Yes, it was.
so
It was,
I
yeah.
wouldn't have had the Blackguard then, but yeah.
No, but for the display board.
Okay, sure. Yeah. They do look nice. I've seen those 3D prints before. I think they're quite nice. They're sort of slightly more reserved than the version, the official version, I think, which is, nice in its own way.
Yeah, more specifically, we've seen his
Oh, have we? Was
version.
that the last time we saw them, was it?
I think he also won the Factorum one, which is
Okay.
one we couldn't quite get clear photos of, but
Oh,
yes.
shrouded in mystery.
Yes.
All right.
Let's
Very
have a
cool.
look at our third place list. It's a shame that Jordan isn't with us because we have
Jordan
the
Snowbuckle with
Watcher.
us. Yes. It's the
Friend of the
biggest.
pod, Stuart McLean,
Oh,
took
yeah.
Moria and Dark Denizens. He had Durbers with a goblin with bow, six goblin with shield, six goblin with spear, and a bat swarm. Moria captain, six goblins with shield, six with spear, the Watcher in the water, the Spider Queen, and one giant spider.
Wow. I mean, 31 models is absolutely titchy.
Yeah.
One bow as well. Interesting. I think this list is very much like a it's I consider it like a glass hammer. Like it's either going to succeed really hard or it's going to blow up in your face.
Yeah.
Basically the only thing I would change here is probably I'd sack the giant spider and get a couple of Fellwogs instead. Get the breakpoint up one. More fast movers. I don't think you can realistically afford a second bat swarm with that few models. So yeah. I mean that's a battle line of it's a 12 wide battle line of goblins. That's going to fall apart remarkably quickly. if the Watcher doesn't turn up for three turns, which I presume didn't happen, because otherwise I don't think he'd have made that.
There was a Rangers of Mirkwood Legendary Legion list, and I was looking at that thinking, if this list comes into that,
yeah, it's just going to get
with any
away.
Distance between it, you just buy. That yeah, point, shout out Stuart. Very well done. Grim list to come up against if the Watcher does turn up.
We had a lot of those kind of grim scenarios as well. We had like Fog of War and Contest of Champions as well. Lots of things that the Watcher loves. So
Spider Queen is amazing at recon as well, which you said you already had.
Yeah.
Like Spider Queen is completely unfair at recon, I would go so far as to say. Anyway, shall we?
In second place, we had another member of any heroics. Jack Whitefoot.
Mr. Jack Whitefoot, who loves going to these Worcester events and clearing up. Yeah. It's how
he
me and
has
met him.
Embodied the chitter chitter mantra of Goblin Town. He's got a Goblin King with Gollum, 22 goblins, Grinner with 12, Goblin Captain with 12, the Scribe with 4, and the Goblin Mercenary Captain with 12 Goblin Mercenaries.
Ooh,
something
big warband.
Yeah, it is. I know Jack's a big fan of using kind of the bigger warbands of Goblin Mercs, and I know Leon's Terrain is really good at his events, so it's kind of a known thing, so you're generally pretty confident, pretty safe, you'll have space for all those goblins.
The main thing I would always be concerned about, if you're having to place 13 models, you know, just making sure that you've got the ability to do that, or you can be weird and put them, if you're ever against a strength 3 army, you could deploy them as a front rank, get your mighty armoured goblins up top.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, really good. And it was worth noting actually that Jack picked second because of the treasure piles and the bonus TPs.
Yeah, so he went, I want to say he went 4-2, is that right?
Correct.
But you got an additional TP for each treasure pile that you got, and there were two on each board. Because I was watching the Longshanks thinking, how is he so high?
But so you got a TP if you had more treasure piles each game, so you could get a bonus 6 TPs effectively, which is 2 wins.
Yeah. So, really well done to him, and shout out Jack. Obviously, proud to see him doing one in Worcester again.
We need one good Goblin Town player on our team, so.
Yeah. Well, any other Goblin Town player will probably only get third or something.
That's deep. Our winning list was Aaron Pullen with a bunch of... Oh, sorry, they're the wrong crossbows. Aaron Pullen with Corsairs of Umbar. So he's taken Dalamir, 6 Arbalesters, 6 Corsairs with Shield, 6 Corsairs with Shield and Spear, Delgamar, 5 more Crossbowmen, 5 Corsairs with Shield, 5 with Shield and Spear, and then a Corsair Captain leading a Black Nun with the Banner, 2 Corsairs with Shield, 2 Corsairs with Shield and Spear, and 2 more Arbalesters for a total of 13 Crossbows, 43 models.
Wow.
You've been saying
world.
It.
We're just
yeah, you've been saying it for a few months now, Dave, haven't you? Shooting
I'm banging
meta.
The drum. Yeah, I nothing. I mean, this is obviously Corsairs aren't quite the same as Isengard. I think the main thing they lack is the Vrasku piece. Vrasku 2 shooting twice, 3+ shoot value, 3 shots. It's great. I think looking at this, I might be tempted to drop a model and give a crossbow to the Corsair captain. I think he can do that without losing a no, he can't, he's already a minimum bow limit, so in that case I retract that statement. You could potentially drop some shields, but I think that's given their d3 without shields, I think that's fine.
He can drop a model because he's got 3 heroes which would take him down to 40, so 39 is 13
yeah.
bows.
Yes, he can. Okay, in that case I would do that because he's got an odd breakpoint. So you can drop a model without losing that. You could drop just one of the Corsairs with Shield, throw in a couple of extra spears in somewhere, maybe a couple of extra Black Nuns, and then throw a crossbow on the Corsair Captain for an extra shot. I think that would be worth it.
Yeah.
How do you think this list compares to the Isengard crossbow spell?
The 600-point Isengard crossbow. First of all, this has a banner. If he maxed his warbands, if he hasn't, I would probably consider sacking the banner and getting a couple more crossbows in.
He hasn't maxed his third warband.
No.
Otherwise,
in that case, I would probably do that. I think this list probably loses straight fight between those two lists. Unless he was to bump up the numbers by dropping the banner. Because that list, remember, had a Crabane and a Warg Rider in it. And it has Lurtz and Gorulf, who are both actually really solid combat heroes. Obviously, Dalamir is okay in combat. He's not bad, but he's also the leader. And he's only two wounds. You know, Lurtz could probably beat him in a one-to-one fight, although obviously if Dalamir did win the fight, he gets very lost a wound. But I mean, this is interesting. I think the lack of pikes and the lack of is not made up for by the backstabbers, and this won't hold up nearly as well to other battle lines the way the Isengard will. That's the big difference, I think. I do like this list though, in its own way.
Yeah. Crossbow meta. Let's have a look at our next tournament of the weekend. We've got the Siege of the Emporium, which was held up in Glasgow at Vlad's Emporium. Oh. They had 26 players playing 800 points, 4 games in a day. Preset missions, domination, clash by moonlight, assassination, destroy the supplies, and only an hour and 45 for each round. So it's kind of 800 points is a bit of speed hammer.
Speed SPG.
Yeah. Most sporting was won by Douglas Moore. Best painted by Hamish Gentles. What would you have used, Dave? Kind of bearing in mind it's 800 points, really short rounds.
With rounds like that, I'd probably be looking at maybe not perfect given the scenarios, but I think I'd be tempted to run Triple Wraith, Spider Queen.
Yeah, Spider Queen wins with you, destroy the supplies.
With destroy the supplies, domination, and assassination, that combo is pretty late with a bat swarm. You get 40 models, Black Numenoreans and Marinans, and a Wild Rider and stuff. It's a good list.
Yeah, and Clash, if you come up against anything with problematic shooting.
It's extremely good at winning difficult games like Clash 1-0. Via like you just triple black dart their leader, get a wound, and then you win it 1-0. If you're in a short game like that, you can do it. You don't have to worry too much about breaking. Anyway.
So for kind of the people that aren't kind of multiple time GBHL podium people, is the reason that this is good in short games because those kind of dwindling resources of the Wraiths is less impactful in shorter
exactly
games.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. In a 2.5 hour game, you're vastly more likely to get to a position where your three wraiths are running low on resources and you're struggling. Same with the Spider Queen. Spider Queen is a glass hammer, hits like a truck, but also has very little staying power. If you lose two roll offs, she's almost certainly dead, possibly even just one.
You also have the benefit, as Dave said, in a game where you, let's say you're a D6 line versus a D6 line and nobody's going to break.
Yeah,
and let's say you're even on objectives otherwise, you just get that black dart wound.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's why that list is great. And you're always going to be probing. Obviously, this Spider Queen is weak in assassination, but I think overall that would be great, especially if the domination is the first mission. I think I'd be very confident running that list. Anyway,
let's have a look at Hamish's fantastic, looks like Pitts, maybe.
Oh,
army.
Yeah.
It's got Goblin Mercenaries, so...
maybe not pets. Right.
It's allied Azog Legion, Azog Hunters.
Yeah. He's got a really cool converted Azog on Warg there.
Very cool. Yeah.
And a cool head swap on the Warg. Well, so it's using the metal Warg Chieftain model
with a
head swap.
Of a Felwarg. Yeah.
Really cool conversions. I'm a big fan of using the armored Azog from the Thorin diorama. It looks a lot cooler.
I'm not sure that is a. That's not the. I think that might be a third party or something, just because that isn't the...
Unless it's
put on another Wild Rock Chieftain.
Yeah, so I don't know if that is a Wild Rock Chieftain, but it's definitely the Azog, because...
But it's definitely not the Azog's Warg, I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah, because that's the same
Part
Azog
of me is wondering if it's converted. A Fenrisian Wolf's kit, because it's what I use for my Wargs. And I know it's quite cheap for 5 models.
If you look in the back on that mounted Nazarg, that is definitely not a SPG Wolf, so maybe that's right.
That's a pose that I'm relatively familiar with.
Yeah.
I think but that is a
I think
Fenrisian
it might be
Wolf.
A Fenrisian Wolf, yeah.
That, yeah. The fact we can't tell what it is impressive.
Yeah, that's good.
It's really nice conversion. Let's look at third place and see if any of our lists kind of match Dave's philosophy of kind of something that doesn't mind running out of resources. So we've got Rivendell and Fellowship. So we've got Elrond leading 11 Riv Knights, With shield, one Riv Knight with no shield and a Riv Knight with banner and shield. And we got Gandalf the Grey and Legolas. Low model count, but high quality models across
the board. I'm surprised this one domination.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
It may have lost that and then won the rest of them, because I mean, this is definitely not a good domination list. Having said that, it's excellent in the other scenarios, and maybe that's how they got third.
No contest means you chuck Gandalf as your leader. Elrond goes in and goes ham if necessary. He can use his will on magic. Start the game, you can strengthen will Gandalf on anything where you start for a part like assassination, while Legolas is doing his ping, 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 ping.
Charge up Elrond for more wraths.
That's what I mean with the strengthen will.
I mean, it's got Legolas for assassination. Legolas and Gandalf are great at assassination. This is going to beat most things at Clash by Moonlight, because you can do the annoying thing and increase the range if you want using Blinding Light, and you've got Legolas and rerolling archers. And it's going to be great at, what was the last one? Oh, Destroy the Supplies, it's going to be great at, because it's got a wizard and strong heroes and very, very fast moving.
When you say increase the range,
yeah.
Do you mean using Gandalf's Blinding Light?
Yeah, you can use Blinding Light to illuminate things further than 12 inches away, at which point Rivendell Knights, like that setup of Rivendell Knights with Legolas, is going to outshoot most gun lines anyway.
So as in, you'd have to send Gandalf ahead?
Yeah.
Like, just blinding light, just like, see you later, Gandhi.
Does that, so does it illuminate things within 6, but then puts Gandalf at risk of being charged? Within 12?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So everything is considered daylight within 12.
Blinding light works within 6 for the spell, the 6.
I see.
So what you can do is, if you do it cleverly, there'll be some terrain or something. You can sort of get in the way for Gandalf, and then obviously he also has blinding light up. And you can illuminate enemy models and then just sit still with your archers and just blast away.
That's a pretty bright idea, Dave.
I mean, it's what I've had it done to me before, so it's not my idea necessarily. I have also done that before as well. Against Rangers of Ithilien, I sent my Curdan on a stealth mission up the board so that my Hobbit archers could just shoot in Clash by Moonlight.
Very cheeky.
If memory serves, I won the game, but I don't remember if that tactic was that important to it.
Let's look at our second place list. It was Caleb Silvergeld running Silvergleed, apologies.
I guess.
Running Minas Tirith and White Council. He's got Daddy Denethor leading 5 warriors with shield, 3 rangers with spear, and 2 Guard of the Fountain Court with shield. Bozza with the flag leading 7 warriors with shield, 3 rangers with spear, 2 Guard of the Fountain Court, 2 warriors with shield and spear. Irelas leading a knight with shield, 4 warriors with shield, Guard of the Fountain Court with shield, 3 rangers, and a warrior with spear and shield. And then Saruman the White on a horse. What do you think of this one?
Big fan.
Yeah, I like this list a lot. This is actually really interesting because Ali and I were discussing a very similar list at 700 points without Boromir. And I said to him, I was like, I'd like that list a lot more at 800 with Boromir. And we were like, shrug, you know, Denethor, Saruman. And then here it is. I didn't even have to write it. Caleb's done the job for me.
And you don't have to take... Obviously, Madril's usually a very good include in Minas Tirith, but from the scenarios, you don't need March, really, and you don't need Maelstrom. March, oh, yes. Yes, he does. He has March and Defense, which is exceptional.
Irelas and Madril, I consider to be... Basically, they're kind of like... The reason Irelas basically never gets used is because Madril is 10 points cheaper and has a really, really great rule and has a bow. Whereas Irelas has Fight 5, which you get from the banner anyway. He has Defense, which is nice, and he has bodyguard, also nice, and he essentially has the Oaken Shield. So if you shield, so you can do one strike. But the other thing I would say about Irelas is he has one of the coolest models in the SVG range, in my opinion. So
for his very brief 5 to 10 seconds in the films,
he's such a negative Nancy as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Lord Denethor has foreseen this doom. Gandalf's like, yeah.
This is why we prefer Madril, you dick.
This is why Madril's cooler. He at least
Madril wouldn't do this.
No, he does.
I'm a big fan of this list. It solves a lot of problems. It's good for assassination. You can have Saruman just targeting either what you think is their assassin or your target. Mm. Again, you just get that single wound from Saruman. A wound, while magical, it works for assassination purposes. So you could use him as your assassin if the opponent's got something squishy, one or two wounds, and just start blasting. Really solid battle line. It's a bit low on numbers, but Saruman lets you deal with any.
Okay, 800. Yeah. I remember if you remember last year when I used Radagast and Minas Tirith, I felt that 38 was fine at 800 with that list. Obviously, the list didn't end up doing that well, but I didn't feel that the numbers were the problem. I think the only thing I would change in this really is if I like having Denethor with the fixed scenarios, Denethor as leader is fine because there's no Maelstrom, there's no contest. I think I would probably maybe consider changing Irelast to Badril and then having a basic knight in there, maybe two. Upgrade warriors to knights because then you can have a little bit of a moving threat for the destroy the supplies. But other than that, I really like this list, actually. I think it's excellent.
Moving on to first place, we're about to see another Gribbly. Where's Jordan? Another watch list podiumed. Finley, I believe it's Finley Staniforth, is that right?
Staniforth, I think.
Staniforth, sorry, Finley, if you are listening, which you probably aren't, because, why would you?
They don't have the internet in Scotland.
Yeah, no internet, no electricity, right?
Yeah.
It is a pure Moria list. It's 54 models, 14 bows, which obviously is quite a few. It's got 11 mites. Leader is Durbers with a bat swarm, 2 prowlers, 5 warriors with shield, 4 warriors with spear, 2 with spear and bow. Groblog with a bat swarm, 2 prowlers, 2 shield, 3 shield goblins, 4 spear goblins, 2 with spear and bow. Moria captain with 2 prowlers, 3 with shield, 3 with spear, 3 with spear and bow. A Moria shaman with 3 with shield, 1 with spear, 2 with spear, bow. A black shield shaman with a wild marauder, big fan, shout out, and 4 Moria goblin warriors with bow and spear. And then last but definitely not least, the Watcher in the Water.
It's a Watcher list, isn't it? 800 points. Yeah. I think my personal feeling is once you get to 800, you should be bringing in allies. I think pure Moria with the Watcher 800 is a bit underwhelming. You want the Spider Queen at least, if not the Shadow Lord as well. Although that makes the numbers quite low, in my opinion. You either want to spec into a slightly more elite line with Mordor faction, so ally in Shadow Lord and probably like a cheap Orc hero.
Yeah.
Or just to make your battle line much tougher, or you want to spec into the more glass hammer aspect of this, like we were talking about earlier with the Spider Queen. And with these scenarios, the Spider Queen would have been a brilliant choice. But I'd be interested to see how he felt the Goblin Archers and the Warg Marauder. I mean, Warg Marauders are good. What I would say is short helps here, because you're less likely to get run over fast enough, and your Watcher is terrifying and is less likely to have the thing where you break and it runs away.
I think the 14 bows I'm looking at, it's specifically for Clash.
I guess so. I mean, this is essentially Finley is a Assault on Lothlorien enjoyer, as we know from...
Yeah.
So I expect... What I will say is, though, by the way, don't want to take away from that, the fact that he's won another 90, I think he's been on here like two or three times already this year. I mean, he's absolutely hitting the Scottish scene like a bat out of hell.
Bat swarm out of hell.
Yeah, nice. Like a kilt-wearing bat swarm out of hell. Put some meatloaf in this bit, John.
That's not a generalisation about Scottish people. He does actually wear a kilt to tournaments.
The last time I saw him at the finale when we were dressed up, he was wearing a kilt. So that's not that's not just me.
And there was snow on the ground, and us Southerners were shivering in our boots.
No, the snow was for the teens event, not for the finale.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh, maybe there was some for the finale. I don't remember.
So before we insult another nation of people, let's look at the stats.
I'm not doing insulting.
there's not much change. We've got kind of 6 more factions in the podiums. Moria is creeping up.
Yeah, they've just appeared out of nowhere, 2 of them.
Yeah. Kind of Isengard and Riders of Théoden, and it's 2 towers themed for the hundreds leading the pack. Army of Lake Towns still Riders at the highest.
It's Hand of the King job.
That's Rohan, isn't it? They're in 2 towers. whatever. I don't even like Lord of the Rings.
This guy.
You've never even suck seen Hermes.
Look at this dude.
Suck the internet.
Will... That's be telling us that the writers of AIM are good.
Well, we'll stop talking about stats then and stop talking about Lord of the Rings in general and go and chat about another film. Yeah. If you want more detailed chat about the podium stats, listen to last week's episode. Because now we're going to talk about mine and Elliot's favourite film, Space Jam. We had this fantastic comment from David J, who apparently is not Dave Clubley, saying, it's MESBG Space Jam. Aliens are invading. And you have to pick the five best players to duke it out for planet Earth. Who makes the dream team?
So first of all, everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We've got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam.
Right. So I was very excited when we saw this. I think it was two or three weeks ago when we first mentioned this comment. So John, knowing that I'm an enjoyer of stats and all-time stats in particular, requested that I could help him select a team. And I've chosen to do GBHL team because that's, for a start, that's what I have stats for. I know that there are some fabulous players around the world, definitely players who are better than some of the people I'm going to mention around the world as well, but I don't have stats for them. So we're calling this a GBHL versus the alien situation. Taking into account basically all the stats that we all mentioned coming up, but also slightly less clear stat, like not stat-based stuff, like there is going to be a certain amount of, you know, experience and longevity comes into this as well. You know, if you've been playing for in the GBHL since it started, you know, that's bonus points kind of vibes.
But which is still why I'm now on the team.
Right. Are we ready?
Yes!
Let's go.
Starting lineup for the Toon Squad.
Right, ooh, let's have a look on at the start of our team.
Yeah.
So,
which we
every team needs a sixth man. For our team, we chose Jake Rawson. He's got one league victory already. Best newcomer in 2022. 14 GBHL 100 podiums, including 8 wins. And a lifetime GBHL 100 podium percentage of 56%. So
Jake is
probably one of, well, he is the up and coming kind of player. Yeah. Dave alluded to longevity, so that's probably why he didn't make
Like, I don't want to imply that he's not a better player than some of the others on his day. Of course, it's just, you know, if we did this again in a year or two, I think he'd definitely be in the starting rotation. It's just, you know, we have to order them somehow. And I think
he's only just been drafted.
We're going to use the sports metaphor, he's the rising star / one to watch / the wonder kid, which is
Victor Wembanyama of the GBHL.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's coming soon.
And then of course we do have as the ball boy, we've got the intern John. So comparing those stats,
Johnny Partridge.
Yeah. Zero GBHL league podiums, 100 podium, a lifetime podium percentage of 6%, and of course the intern is actually just a hobbyist.
Of course. That sounds like just a hobbyist sounds like the name of a special rule. Like Bill the Pony's only a pony special rule. I'm just a hobbyist.
So our first position in the starting lineup is small forward. Do you want to introduce that, Dave?
Yeah, so I, being a hilarious character, took the five people I picked and semi-arbitrarily ascribed them positions on the basketball court, which may only amuse myself and hopefully Elliot Schillinglaw, but possibly not even him, because it might also be bad. But at small forward, we got Ali King. He's won the league. He has 21 GBHL 100 podiums, 5 of which were victories, with a lifetime podium percentage of 30.88%. which is very, very solid. And he's also been competing for a very long time using lists that many consider to be non-competitive. And I consider his ability to podium so consistently with fairly garbage things to be very impressive. So that's why he's on the list.
Yeah. Our next position is the power forward, not a power bottom. It's Dave Farmer.
Yeah, so I put myself in there absolutely shamelessly. Two-time league runner-up. I've got 20 GBHL 100 podiums, of which I've won 10 of them. So I've got more wins than Ali, or twice as many wins as Ali, in fact, and a better podium percentage to boot. However, I consider myself to be a less consistent player, and also I haven't been playing quite as long as he has, and not haven't been doing so well. I took a long time to ramp up, as it were, you know, getting to the point where I was regularly podiuming and winning tournaments.
Yeah, I think Dave's probably too modest to mention this, despite putting himself on, but the fact that he's come second the past 2 years, you can make a decent shout for him being probably one of the best players in the country, which is why we roped him into doing this podcast with us, so he can share his knowledge with, mainly with us, but also you wonderful viewers and listeners.
It's also worth noting that, and obviously apologies for bringing this up, Dave, but it is an ego stroke. For any other year in the GBHL, if you'd performed the way you did last year, you would have won the GBHL. It's just because it was such a tight race in the end between yourself and Jake.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah.
Well, I mean, I do feel a little awkward putting Jake as sixth man, super sub, you know, rookie of the year type character when I put myself in the starting five, considering he did beat me last year. But, you know, give it another year and he'll take my spot for sure. All right, let's see.
Well, all kickoff alleys.
All kickoff alley, yeah.
So, who's our shooting guard, Dave?
Oh, it's world champion. World champion with the 3 total league podiums, of which 2 of them were league wins. He's got 18 podiums and 6 wins and a total lifetime podium percentage of 28.57%. Now, I mean, you may have noticed we all have different strengths here. Like Ali's got very consistently making it onto the podium despite not winning as much. Will has extremely efficiently managed to condense all of his tournament success into the years when he's the best player and he's winning things. And I've got a lot of actual overall victories. I think that's going to pale in comparison to the last two people on this list. Yeah. But Will's also got that Ali King swagger of being able to play nonsense to extremely high level. And I think that has his lack of caring too much about what he's going to run sometimes is probably a large part of the reason why his podium percentage is a little bit lower, because the last few hundreds he's been taking Moria with loads of Shatter Shamans just to see what happens. You know, you can't hate it.
Also worth noting that Will does have a Patreon page where he offers kind of coaching. Mm. There's a Discord. He offers monthly games as well. He writes articles on tactics. It's Will's Champions. If we remember, we'll put a link below. Obviously, he's done the podcast a couple of times before. So,
yeah.
Who is our big man up top, Dave?
I believe our center is Mr. Ed Ball. The big man himself, 6 total league podiums, 3 victories, 3 second places, 45 GBHL 100 podiums, 18 of which are wins, and a staggering podium percentage of 42.06%. And I don't know if any of you are math wizards, that means he's gone to, I think it's 107 GBHL 100s, which is the most by a very long way, hence the longevity comment. And he's actually had very consistent success throughout the whole thing. You know, he's had moments where he's not podiumed that much in the middle. He, obviously, he's, I think, in the past edition, he had the highest podium percentage or close to it. But now, yeah, over the course of 10 years, you know, 45 podiums, 100 plus tournaments attended. It's ridiculous. He's an absolute beast and fabulous basketball player, I am sure.
Yes.
So our final and arguably most prestigious position on the team,
the point guard.
Is the point guard. Elliot, who's your prediction?
Oh.
It's not Demby.
It's not Demby.
But I'm the best player in South Bristol. Yeah, I am.
Does Jordan still live in South Bristol?
No, he moved to North Bristol.
Okay.
Who do you think, Elliot?
I'm not Jay Chara.
You're halfway there.
Oh, of course. Oh, it's our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, the big man, metaphorically. The
official number one fan of the Any Heroics podcast. Yeah, Mr. J. Clare. He probably loves it. Yeah.
I reckon so. 6 league podiums, 3 wins, 2 seconds and a third place. He's got 18 wins, same as Ed Ball, out of 40 podiums, with a mind-blowing podium percentage of 55.56%, which is just astonishing. I think he's done 72-73 events, and he's podiumed at more than half of them. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. Couldn't possibly. I mean, those two, Ed and Jay, were absolutely nailed on as the main two guys in this. And the thing with this team as well, I look at that and I think if you were doing some sort of 5v5 team format, I'd back that team against anyone, frankly.
I think so, yeah. Especially, yeah. And it's worth noting that a lot of, I think Jay and Ed were kind of two of the people duking it out for the league. Obviously, there are other names that we could throw in the mix throughout for a long, long period. And especially for Jay, who I don't think we saw a lot of him competitively last year. He just walked in. I say walked into Warhammer World. He does literally work there.
He lives there.
he works and lives in Nottingham. So yes, of course he walked in and just took a podium position just like that.
That's very on brand for him, to be fair. I remember when he was sort of winding down. The year he came third in 2020/2021, he basically didn't compete that much and he still came third in the league. Like, that's the kind of guy. He's got the absolute sauce. He could take almost anything and make it competitive.
Yeah. And this team, hydrated by the intern, would be unstoppable.
Absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm guessing you're all curious as to which Looney Tune Toon Squad character is represented by each of these guys. So don't worry, I have thought about it. So starting with Ed as the center, he was, I couldn't decide that either has the Tasmanian Devil or Foghorn Leghorn. They both play center in the movie.
Yeah.
Whichever one of those suits your fancy best.
Forward. I think Foghorn Leghorn, because he's Foghorn, quite a dramatic persona.
Oh, yes, that's true. Ed could get behind that. Power forward is Daffy Duck, which would be myself.
Yep, I see it.
Small forward is Lola Bunny, so Ali King is Lola Bunny.
The most fuckable on the team. Sexy. Yep.
World champion, the shooting guard, mate, is Michael Jordan. I don't think he'd complain about that.
Yep.
And that leaves the iconic face of the franchise, Bugs Bunny, their point guard, Jay Clare. And also, off the bench, as we all know, Bill Murray saves the day at the last second. That's Jake Rawson. So nice. Solves the problem. There you go, you see?
I think it's also worth noting that there, Jay and Ali are in a relationship, and Will is the coach Jordan, so that's very appropriate.
In Space Jam, Lola and Bugs aren't dating. He just bursts after her a bunch. That happens later in Looney Tunes canon, I think.
Right. So in our next episode... Looney Tunes
lore.
Our next episode...
Are you? Goodness
our
me.
Spin-off channel.
I play the Looney Tunes Middle-Earth board game that you've... Probably exists, maybe.
So let us know in the comments below who would be in your GBHL dream team. And actually,
or non-GBHL. It could be anyone.
Anyone your of theme. Our three international viewers, we'd love to know kind of who would be kind of the MESBG goat in your community or your kind of part of the world.
I was thinking, as it would be a fun idea, I should ask Jakob as a... GBHL resident who's also played a lot abroad, he could take the role of Mr. Swackhammer and put together a Monstars Polish team to play against these guys, and we could actually play for the future of the world potentially. That could be fun.
I would also like to just for the purposes of fairness, only two of these positions were just instantly set at the start. I think Ed and Jay, undeniable. There are a few other names in the mix, so if you are a bigger player listening to this and your name isn't on the list, it is because Dave doesn't like you, but there was a lot of consideration going on here. So
listen,
you know.
there's only like four people who've gotten more than one league podium. The only other person who could still be on, who could make a claim for this, might be someone like Damien O'Byrne or Tom Harrison from back in the day. And like, I'm not trying to throw shade at them. I don't think they're bad players. You know, as we know, Damien's a phenomenal pillar of the community and was a large part of why this hobby took back off again. You know, I have tons of respect for Damien and what he's done, but I think I'm a better player. So,
I heard the league was easier back in the day as well.
I mean, it was, in my opinion.
As I said, if you look at the points you have to score now to win the league and the points back then, back in my day, you could win the league going downhill both ways.
Well, I mean, look at how much it stepped up. I came second 2 years in a row. The first time I came second, I got 3 podiums. The second time, I got 10.
Yeah.
You sound like Gerard Pepper winning the league, mate.
Yeah, I slipped at the last second.
It's not the big four anymore, it's the big 12.
I got a... the metaphorical Gerard slip is me, my two Workwood Cavalry getting killed by John's trackers in the game in the finale.
Yeah, in a cruel twist of fate. After that. I had to go check with Dave that we were still friends after that.
Yeah. Fortunately for you, I don't judge my friendships on things that happen on the tabletop.
Thank God for that.
Except in my case.
So while that may take over as everyone's new favourite section of the show, let's look at everyone's old favourite section of the show, listener comments. Again, our adoring fans have left far too many comments for me to be bothered to individually animate. So you get three separate screenshots. So the Golems gamers say they prefer Aristor over the captain. Trading March and 5 points to get a strike. Will Fate Terror and the Crack Daggers is pretty orange.
I think that's
an orange.
Yeah, it's some sort of citrus fruit.
Citrus fruit.
Is it a lime?
Might be. I don't have my color reading glasses on. Those are a thing. This is our talking about that Rivendell list that I think it was the Last Alliance list that Vince was using, wasn't it? With the Aristor and Curdan and with it, I think it's genuinely up to your taste. I think having March is. But I think it'd be a harder choice if Aristor had the third might, because he only has two. I feel like the captain can give him a run for his money, especially if you have Isildur with the ring. But it genuinely is personal preference, and I have it from a friend who loves Aristor even without March. Luke Hilder, shout out. That you can clearly make it work. So, you know, personal preference.
I also do still like Aristor. I just think the need for March in the current meta with a lot of scenarios is quite high.
It really bugged me that he had the same head as the old Glorfindel, almost identically.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so close to similar that I don't know why, but yeah. That's a throwback.
Alexander Anglin says, gents, what are your thoughts on this idea? All captains should have access to all war gear that an army has. Fiefdoms is an example, two-handed axe, spear, two-handed sword and shield, lance, bow, pike. Wouldn't be game-breaking, would allow for some exquisite conversions and paint jobs. Yeah.
I like that idea. I think that's a very cool idea, mainly because I think that the regular captains get kind of shafted a little bit in this game. In big name heroes take all the glory. Basically, the only time you see regular captains is in the lists where they're so cheap that they're actually good, like Moria Goblins or Goblin Town. Because a Minas Tirith captain is like, you know, what's he going to do that the other named heroes can't do better? And the answer is pretty much nothing. That would be a cool idea.
I do like the idea. I'm sure there's a way of breaking it somewhere along the line, but until it comes up.
I thought about it for a good 10 seconds, and there definitely isn't.
Yeah.
Please correct me.
Jay Clare, please change the rules. Thank you. Bye.
James Goebbels asks, what's your favourite karaoke song?
The absolute banger of a question. Holy crap.
Love is an Open Door from Frozen.
Dude, do you know the harmonies? Because I know the harmonies.
Which part do you want to sing?
The male part, obviously.
Okay, good, because I want to sing the female part. Masters?
At the Masters, which you're going to be at.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's not even wait for that. Get X amount of likes, and then they'll do it on camera. Next
pod. I tell you what, if this video gets... Wait, how many likes do we normally get, John?
At least three.
Okay. Go for five, Stephen. Five likes.
Shoot for the moon.
If this video gets...
100. Let's say 100.
No. Let's be realistic. Let's say 35 likes. I will either record the Masters karaoke of me and Dave and upload it, or we'll record our own at some other point. 35 likes, and we'll do it.
John, yours?
35.
Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood.
Damn, good choice. Nice.
Yeah.
What about you, Elliot?
I think I would go for Winner Takes It All, ABBA.
Ooh, yes.
That's a banger. For me, it's got to be, it's probably a tie between Wicked Game by Chris Isaak and Mardi Bum by the Arctic Monkeys. Although that one's more fun to play as well, if you've got an instrument.
What, like a kazoo?
Is that?
It'd be hard to sing and play the kazoo at the same time, but I can start bringing kazoos to tournaments if that's what you want, Elliot.
I will happily see that. Give
the people what they want, Dave.
Give the people what they want.
Davy Gravy number two, I don't know what happened to the first one, says, K Cave Kid Dudley from the GBHL Free Press Association of Journalists here with the fact-checking requested. Thank you, Cave Kid Dudley. We can confirm that Tom Smith, a.k.a. Daddy Bear, did indeed podium with Cam in 2024, coming second at a Swindon event, pipping our own editor-in-chief, the handsome David Clubley, by strength of schedule.
I think you mean 2023. Fact-check yourself correctly, Mr. Gravy.
Yeah, well, at any rate, what we've confirmed is that Jakob Crutchmiller is a fraud.
Yes.
He's not really, but...
No, he's a lovely guy. I love him.
He's got a great podium percentage as well. He was another player in contention for the five.
Yeah.
What was his podium percentage?
His podium percentage is 36%. It's just the total number is holding him back a bit.
You're not too far off, John, off that.
I'm just a hobbyist.
I'm out for blood today.
Damn right.
Elliot wins one Factorum tournament and blimey.
I win the best awards of all, my friend.
Yeah, nice boy. Let's go.
Masterball UK says, hello me again, avid Spotify listener, Facebook commenter Nathan. First, you managed to sexualize Pokemon. His name is Masterball UK, not Master Bullock. Sounds like a very erotic actor. Second, will any of us be attending Burned Hand at is that Borden Brump or Warhammer World Doubles? Yeah. Managed to convince the missus to play.
No, unfortunately not. I think the Burnt Hand is it this weekend coming up? Yeah, so the Burnt Hand is the same weekend. It's this weekend coming, and myself and Dave are in Bath.
In a
George.
Bath together, yeah.
In a bath together, yeah.
Gotta save that water.
Gotta save that water. Warhammer World Doubles? Warhammer World tickets are really difficult to get hold of.
Yeah, they have a slightly frustrating habit of not properly announcing them.
If they could hook us up as like media
sponsors,
that'd be peak.
We'll have our advertising people chat with their advertising people.
We'll leave it with the intern.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Nathan, no. However, please keep letting us know. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm probably going to basically every 100 that is south of the Scottish border until the end of the year.
Because Stephen hates Scotland.
No, because they're harder to get to, and we do intend on going to Scouring of Stirlingshire this year. So, if you see us, if you think we're going to the same tournament, what's a comment?
Right. Our next branch of questions.
You cut off this at the bottom there, but he does also sign off by saying chitter, 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 and I love that.
Chitter.
I can't believe I cut that off.
Stay chittery, people.
Classic intern behavior.
Absolute catchphrase moment, but I love that it's catching on.
Yeah. Thomas Denny says, go on, Smith, up the Bears.
Yeah, there's a lot of Tom Smith, Daddy Bear support around here.
Love Chicago.
Seth Clark says, never thought I'd hear you lot reference pissing all by yourself, handsome. The Jacko Snackerville is definitely the best one. Oh, awesome. Cool to hear you guys play D&D, big on it myself. When's the spin-off channel dropping for that?
Firstly, Seth,
get the editing budget.
Seth, I owe you some sort of reward. Please comment below about where any tournaments you're coming to in the future. Otherwise, I'll have to work out some prize to post. Just drop your full address.
Full address, national insurance number, anything else. Mother's maiden name, chuck it in there.
All the credit card details.
Glad to hear you guys play D&D. Where's the spin-off channel dropping for that? I mean, I would definitely be up for an Any Heroics Do D&D.
We've never played together. So
wait, because we all play individually, but never together.
Yeah, never together. Not after the incident.
Yes. the incident. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, there's a good reason why we don't play D&D.
No. Maybe for this... I know Matt Lightbarnett is a renowned DM. Maybe for the stag tournament on the Friday night, we could rope him onto running a little one-shot.
Report it with a lot... There'll be a lot more than just one shot happening for you, though, Johnny boy.
Oh, no.
Every time a dice is rolled, dead after 5 minutes.
Lord, that would be... That's the idea, though. Denby, pencil that down.
Yep, right down, Denby.
Robert Stevens says, great video. What's your favourite alt paint scheme for an army you've seen?
Henry Britton's hot pink, lime green and fluorescent goblin town. Yes. And Lake Town is quite nice. That's a bit out there,
On the concept of out there ones, I loved the absolute uproar that Sean Spruill's Synthwave Uruk-hai created when they were hitting the scene in 2021. If you don't know them, they're essentially it's like Uruk-hai, which are like pink and blue. He used them as like Uruk Scouts and Ugluk Scouts. And they have like a cyberspace bases. And when he first started showing them off on the GBHL, there was a lot of upset people, a lot of people stamping on their hats in frustration. And I just loved it. Got a shout out.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, if they're your models, paint them however you want.
Yeah. Exactly.
You paid for them. Don't let other people police that. That's silly.
Yeah.
User IH6KL7GC2Q. Lovely name.
Elon says Musk's
loving the reg loving the regular content, guys. What are each of your favorite models in the game?
Irelas, baby.
This what is a good future discussion topic. Yeah. But in one word, Gil-galad hiking of the elves.
Big titty Alfred,
is what John
says. Big titty Alfred for John. Yeah. I can't choose.
I'm gonna go Dernhelm.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're either going Dernhelm, Gambling, or Theoden.
Aemir was my second, to be fair.
What I would say is, Plastic Dernhelm, the horse, is so nice. I was impressed. Yeah. Compared to how much I've hated painting a lot of horses, like regular Rohan horses, it was such a treat to actually have a nice-looking horse for once.
You called it a delight last week when we were talking about that model.
Delight?
Bloody hell. I don't remember saying that.
We did chat about it last week.
Yeah, well... regular scheduled Dernhelm comments coming every week.
Atomic Cards, Tom Patterson, friend of the channel, fantastic store, provides a whole spattering of fact checks for us. I won't read them all out, but thank you very much, Tom, for the Atomic fact check. Our next set of comments, the only JP is correct. We won't read that one out. The Warmaker. Hey guys, it's Omar here. Thank you so much for the shout out to my army and this week's content. I really appreciated it. I can confirm what I said to John in chat and Stephen in person. Absolutely love your channel. My absolute favourite. P.S. Stephen, yes, the Centurion is metal. No, balancing wasn't easy.
I have to do a really... So I like to react to all these comments fresh. I saw this comment pop up and I was just like, Omar, you're a legend. The metal Sentinel... Elliot, I don't know if you saw it, but basically he got one of those GW trees with the quite small bases, and on the branch, so about this far out.
I
don't
think it was a GW tree. I think it was a tall and thinner tree.
Oh, was it? Okay, anyway, yeah. on the branch, about, let's say, an inch or two out, he had the Sentinel blowing the horn, just balanced on it.
And it's just balanced.
Yeah.
Glued or pinned.
I assume he pinned it. Otherwise, it's amazing. But it was like... On a 25mm base, the model looked like it was several inches tall, probably like 5 or 6 inches tall, with a Sentinel on it. That's what they call modeling for line of sight advantage, I believe.
It was insane.
To the Elven Cloak.
That's the downside, though, because then you're like, you just get shot.
Oh, this was the Omar who we met at Into the West, Elliot.
I've met Omar several times, Stephen.
Okay, my apologies.
Ghouls Crypti says, hey, I got into MESBG a year ago. I loved it and introduced all my friends to it. Recently, I went to my first tournament. Wait. Surprisingly, I did average but very narrow games. The experience was amazing and I can't wait for the next tournament. I love your content, and if I go to the UK in the future, I'm definitely taking my minis with me. It's one of the best communities I've ever been part of.
Damn right.
Damn straight. So happy to hear that. Especially, one thing that's really important when going to tournaments is... If you're still learning the game, then if you don't win a game, take something away that you could have done better, or something about your opponent's army that you've learned. Then that's a really important thing for not only self-progression if you want to get better or just learn the game. Just if you lose a game, you go, okay, well, why did I lose? What could I have done better?
Yeah.
What has my opponent done that meant that they won the game?
Exactly. And tournaments are great for learning anyway, just because you get so many games in such a short space of time. It just really hammers in the practice. It warhammers in the practice, am I right, guys?
And our final comment for the episode is from Carson Howard, who commented last week.
He's
started amassing my collection whilst he was deployed last year, hoping to get into a tournament when he got home. December was while he was on orders, couldn't go. January, he started a normal job again outside the military. February was during a weekend with the military. March was on Easter weekend, so he was gone with family. There's a tournament in April, but he's with the military. So the scheduling contract's driving him insane. One of these months, I'll finally get to attend my first tournament. And when I do, I'll let you know how I did. Do let us know. And hopefully, real life can stop getting in the way of toy soldiers.
It's one of those things where one of the nice things about the hobby is that, and I say this as somebody who doesn't paint very often, even when you're not at tournaments, there are other things you can do relating to it. So you can listen to excellent podcasts. You can paint your minis. You can think about what else you want to do. Hopefully you do get to go to a tournament soon, because I think they're great.
Oh, fantastic. That's all Stephen wrote.
Right. We'll see if he
sorry, anybody who's been watching the podcast, I do keep having to pause because I'm very coldy, hence my name, Sneezing Flemby. And I have to keep blowing my nose. So my apologies, everyone. I'm sparing you from that.
Well, well, well.
Right.
Smart. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for liking, listening, comment, sharing, subscribing. Support your Hobbit hobby. Remember to drop a comment down below. Remember, like the video. If we get to 35 likes and fewer than 10 of them are from John's alternate accounts, I will post the duet from the Masters of me and Dave doing Love is an Open Door. Have a good week. We'll catch you next week.
Chitter, chitter. Stay chittery.
Stay chittery, San Diego.